Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis Public Radio's race, culture, and diversity reporter, Emmanuel Berry, is saying goodbye to St. Louis and hello to Macau, China. We'll say farewell in just a couple of moments. But first, the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in St. Louis, in large part because of an organization that provides significant capital to get startups going. The organization is Arch Grants. It provides equity-free $50,000 grants. Since its founding in 2012, it has distributed close to $4 million to startups. One of the awardees is the medical technology company Sparrow Labs, the brainchild of Washington University students who have since gone on to graduate. They came up with a device that revolutionizes how respiratory diseases are managed. Joining me in studio are Ginger Imster, the executive director of Arch Grants, Abby Cohen, and Andrew Brimer, our co-founders of Sparrow Labs. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Abby and Andrew, congratulations to you for proceeding as you have with your product. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but I'd like to start with Ginger. Ginger, I said at the beginning that the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in St. Louis. Any problem with that?
No, actually. I just would like it to be a little bit more robust, and we're working on it. And we appreciate the coverage today because we're in the midst of a funding cycle. And so as we have the show unfold, if people get excited, our next application deadline is August 30th, and we look forward to more applications from within the state and outside the state as well.
Tell us about your funding.
So Arch Grant started in 2012, as you said, with this premise that we could actually grow our own Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies in St. Louis. And that wasn't too far from how St. Louis came to be with immigration and entrepreneurs funding and founding the city that we all know and love today. So Abby and Andrew are part of a long tradition in St. Louis, and Arch Grants was founded by four gentlemen who essentially looked at what was happening to their community and decided that one way to combat the job loss and the prevailing negative narrative around St. Louis was to instead look to the talent that we were graduating from our local universities and look outside the state and see if we couldn't, again, be a bastion for entrepreneurship and immigration in the Midwest.
Are those who receive the grants required to stay here?
They are. So the point of differentiation that you mentioned earlier about the money that we give being equity-free, the other point of differentiation is that most accelerators have a commitment to the folks that they're funding of maybe 3 months, and ours is a 12-month commitment. And it's a mutual commitment. We ask the entrepreneurs to be in St. Louis for those 12 months, but in turn, we continue to support them throughout those 12 months in addition to the cash through pro bono services and mentoring. And then we hope that over those 12 months, they fall in love with St. Louis and can build a business here.
How does the process work?
So we have a competition now that's year-round. Previously, it was only one time per year, and now it's year-round. So that allows us the opportunity this year to see 40% more finalists in 2015 than we saw in 2014. And applicants come through an online portal where they can apply, and then over 200 community judges volunteer on our behalf to identify those that they think should advance.
It is a competition.
It is a competition, and it is a rigorous competition, and it is one that is we take great pride in our process.
Andrew and Abby, how rigorous was it for you? I'll start with Abby, ladies first.
Sure. So I think the competition, kind of the stages, are looking at different aspects of the business and going into more depth as you go through the process. But I think at each stage, Arch Grants really helps you, whether you're a winner or not, in terms of really going through and doing diligence on your business and giving you feedback from established people and leaders in the entrepreneurial community here in St. Louis.
And Andrew, want to add to that?
Yeah, sure. I think that's a great point. And I think that kind of those different stages, and obviously it's evolved a little bit since we went through back in 2013, but you get a ton of feedback from the judges, from the advisors. And like Abby said, you know, even if you don't progress, that feedback can be extremely valuable sometimes to point you in a different direction and maybe highlight an opportunity that you didn't see. And I think the farther you get into it, the more the more of that feedback that you get. So as you're actually progressing and as you if you're a finalist, if you're lucky enough to be that, you get real contact with some really smart people and get to really kind of pick apart your business model, pick apart your business plan. What are you trying to do and help you all along the way?
Ginger, do you try to match judges with the kind of company or the kind of project that the entrepreneurs are working with?
We do, and we have so many different industries. So another point of differentiation for Arch Grants is that we're industry agnostic. So we're funding a lot of different types of companies, which is very intentional because we believe in the diversified economy of St. Louis. So as such, we have a number of industry experts and community-based professionals who can bring that expertise to bear when evaluating the applications.
It's really, too, with the help that goes to those who don't win the competition necessarily, it sounds to me like it's kind of a mentoring service as well.
It can be, and I think so long as the entrepreneurs are open to that kind of critical feedback, you know, so much is in the reception of the information as much as it is in the delivery. Mm-hmm. And so for the entrepreneurs who are really in it as a process and recognize that it's not typically transactional, you know, I do, therefore I get. It's more of a we do, and I will evolve, and then ultimately we will together. And that's the type of entrepreneur we're looking for.
What set Sparrow Labs apart during their competition?
The dynamic of their team. I mean, they're a tremendously talented team of co-founders, and coming out of Washington University, it was really exciting to think that they were going to graduate and upon graduation then have this grant, and with this grant then immediately begin work on their business in a full-time capacity. And, you know, Abby and Andrew are a lovely example of sort of the attraction and retention model that we try to maintain. So Andrew grew up in St. Louis and went all the way through university in St. Louis. Abby came to St. Louis to go to attend Washington University and has subsequently stayed as she and Andrew have started this business. And that's what we want to see more of.
Abby, are you going to stay now?
Yeah, I mean, I love it here, and it's a great place to start a business. I'm originally from Michigan, and I feel like now I have two homes. My family's back in Michigan, but I have my own, you know, family now here in terms of my entrepreneurial family here in St. Louis, and so it's a great place to be.
Andrew, what does the $50,000 grant, has it meant to Sparrow Labs? And I know you don't get it all at once. Ginger corrected me on that a little bit earlier, but you do get it eventually. What has it meant to you in starting up?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, in terms of at that stage where we were just had graduated from WashU, or I think actually still going to school actually while we were going through the application
process.
That's
the way I remember it, yeah.
Trying to run up to, you know, give some pitches during final week and everything like that. But for us, it was really transformative. I think the money itself obviously is its own piece, and that allowed us to, you know, not only pay our own bills and be able to actually do this and, you know, pay rent on our small office space in the T-Rex incubator, the old T-Rex in the Macy's mm-hmm. building at this time, but also to actually bring on new team members to help us actually accelerate and get where we needed to go. So I think the money was valuable in terms of it actually made it feasible for us to not have to sacrifice, not have to get, you know, a part-time job and try to squeeze in, you know, entrepreneurship on the side, because it really has to be kind of an all-in thing. And I think that what's interesting is that Arch Grants goes beyond just that $50,000. And I think as important as the money is, it's really this community that really what attracted us about Arch Grants. It's you're having, you know, all these peers of, you know, for us, there's 19 other companies that were all at various stages, some a little bit before, some a little bit, you know, farther along than we were, but in all different areas. So that camaraderie and that ability to just, you know, sit down and have a conversation with someone and understand, you know, what are some challenges that they've gone through was super powerful. But in addition to just, you know, the cohort or the class of other companies that we were in, there's also a lot of great mentors and people that are excited about Arch Grants who want to somehow give back their time. And we got to use a lot of those you know, people as advisors and mentors.
I gather there are a lot of people excited about your company, too, because the number I have here is that additional donors have put a considerable amount of money into your company.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a good track record of winning a number of grant competitions when we were still in school. And then we raised a seed round of funding after that. Which was made possible by the progress that we were able to make, you know, from Arch Grants, their resources that they helped us out and partnered with us.
Abby, let's remind folks exactly what it is that Sparrow was doing. It was a single device that we talked about, Andrew, the last time you were here. I assume that's still what you're working with.
Yes, that's correct. Our product is called Wing. We're actually getting close to submitting to FDA, but it's a pocket-sized device that goes with a companion mobile application that measures lung function. And our goal is to empower asthma patients or patients with respiratory diseases to better understand and proactively manage their condition.
They can use their cell phone, of course. You can use the cell phone for anything these days. Why not this as well? And you're waiting, Andrew, FDA approval. What does that involve?
Yeah, it's quite a big process, as I'm sure most people can imagine. And for us, the nice thing is it's not a, you know, new pharmaceutical drug that could take, you know, 10 years, $100 million of development, but it's still a process. You know, with the FDA, there's always time involved, and you know, you can't really estimate exactly how long things take. But for us, we're just, you know, about a week or two away from submitting several hundred pages of documentation to the FDA that we've been working on for quite a while now. So it's a pretty exciting time. And ideally, around kind of the end of this year, beginning of next year, we'll be able to have everything finalized and actually cleared through the FDA.
It's not a quick path, obviously.
No. It's you know, there's a lot of safety concerns, and specifically because, you know, it is a medical product. You know, for us, even internally, if we think it's safe, there's still a lot of standards you have to go through.
Ginger, what kind of products? Is there a particular kind of product that you're finding people coming up with? Clearly, high technology is playing a role in the entrepreneurial world today. Is that what you're seeing?
You know, it's more general than that. So it's yes and. And so what we're seeing are a lot of businesses that come through that meet our criteria to be scalable, either through national or international impact. And we keep it broad so that we can provide grants to a number of different industries. And so as a result, we've seen more applications that have successfully gone through the process in the consumer product space, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. The first year, there wasn't as much of that. In the last couple of years, we've seen an increase in that. Mobile technology continues to be a very popular space. And then, of course, you know, you look at where we have successful industry clusters in St. Louis with regard to financial services, plant and life sciences. You know, these are clusters that we can leverage manufacturing. We can leverage these clusters in order to get the highest quality applicants.
I've looked at the list of your most recent winners and your most recent competition, and I have to bring this up before taking a break. You know what I'm going to say, don't you, before
I don't
even
know.
Say it. I'm looking at the invisible girlfriend.
Ah, yes, invisible girlfriend, now invisible boyfriend as well. Yeah, this concept of digital companionship. Yeah, it's terrific, actually. And as you get into it, you start to understand the application goes far and beyond just what, you know, the name says. And they're working on their name as they think about how they're going to market this product. But we're very pleased to see them be a part of the Arch Grants family, and I think they're going to make St. Louis very proud.
Digital companionship.
Digital companionship.
Just tell me a little bit more about that.
Think about digital coaching. Think about things that we do in our lives or with physicians or under the care of someone else. And I think what they're looking at is how do we take this model that they've been working on and extrapolate what they've learned into different operations that allow us as people to have better access to practitioners in medicine, life coaching, these different possibilities that allow us to now use our mobile phone to connect to people with expertise. And the beauty of this digital companionship is that it's not the only piece that's digital is how you're interacting with it. The way that their process works is that they use a company in Swansea, Illinois, Crowdsource, and there are real people responding to the subscriber. And so the only digital piece is actually how that information is being exchanged between two people. But it is digital companionship.
It certainly caught my eye as being something a little bit different.
Sounds different.
But, of course, that's what you're dealing with all the time, the things that are different.
It is. It's celebrating the strengths that we have in our community today. And it's an anticipation of strengths that we think we need to be laying the foundation for now. And digital companionship could be one of those new foundation points. Legal tech is another foundation point that I think Juristat, another Arch Grant recipient, is sort of laying that foundation for us in St. Louis. And we take tremendous pride in helping to lay down those foundation points.
I have to take a break. We'll do that now. You just heard from Ginger Imster, who was the executive director of Arch Grants here in St. Louis. Also with me in studio are Andrew Brimer and Abby Cohen, co-founders of the medtech startup Sparrow Labs. We'll be back to continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to become a part of it and learn a little bit more about the entrepreneurial world, these are the folks to talk to. You can give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Ginger Imster, Andrew Brimer, and Abby Cohen. Andrew, let me turn to you for a question about unexpected, unanticipated obstacles that you faced getting launched.
Yeah. You know, I think that the whole FDA approval process, going through it our first time, is always, you know, there's always kind of things that you don't necessarily anticipate. And we made the decision to get some regulatory consultants to help us out going through that process. But I think just the length of time or the certain standards that are applicable to your device, it's not necessarily perfectly cut and dry. There's not a guidebook about how to, you know, here's all the documents that you need to submit to the FDA, and that's all you need. So I think for us, some of the things that have, you know, that haven't necessarily hindered us so far, but have just things to overcome is really to getting a good perspective of what the FDA is looking for when you're submitting a medical device to them. And even something as simple and seemingly harmless as, you know, a pair of headphones is you know, about the level of risk that we have. It plugs right into the headphone jack of your smartphone. But because it is a medical product, there's just a lot of things you have to go through. So I think walking through that process, you know, going through it a second time, there's certainly mistakes that maybe we wouldn't have made the first time, or just things maybe would have been able to be done faster, knowing kind of what we know now versus what we started.
Abby, what other kinds of challenges do you anticipate?
Sure. So I don't know if this would be considered a challenge necessarily in the traditional sense, but I think that team is such an important piece to this puzzle. We're a small team, and the team that we have is so dedicated to bringing this product to market. And it's been fantastic for Andrew and I to have a team like that behind us. But each time that we bring someone else on board, we want to find the same level of commitment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, entrepreneurialism isn't something where, and a startup in general, is not something where you have the typical 9 to 5 hours. And we've been extremely fortunate to have a team on board that, you know, at all hours of the night, if we need them to continue working or get something done, they're going to do that with no questions asked. And so finding those types of people, just 1 in 1,000.
How many employees do you have?
We have 5 full-time employees right now, and a couple interns, and then a number of contractors and consultants on top of that.
And Ginger, Arch Grants doesn't leave these folks alone, as you've indicated before. You're available for help. How has Arch Grants worked with these folks since they got started?
So they're a very proficient team and very independent, but they do ask for help occasionally, and it's often around supporting some of their good news in the community and when they've had press releases to announce, and connecting those press releases to local media outlets because they may be getting picked up nationally but not necessarily locally. We continue to maintain sort of a jobs bank. So as they look to hire, and I don't actually know if Abby and Andrew have used it recently, but we maintain a pretty solid jobs bank that they can dial into. And then the team on our program side in the office, Ben and Emma, are tremendously responsive when entrepreneurs like Andrew and Abby would reach out for an introduction, again, assistance with hiring, assistance with finding the right location for a particular meeting that's of great significance to the company. These are the kinds of things where we can provide really concierge support.
And this is all gratis? I mean, once they have won the competition?
It is. We say that they no longer receive the funding, and they no longer receive the pro bono support following the conclusion of the 12-month cycle with us, but they're still very much a part of the family, and we still maintain a very vested interest in their success in St. Louis because, again, although the funding is equity-free, we know that over the long term, certainly by the time Arch Grants turns 10, one of the metrics the community will want us to be able to verify is how many of the entrepreneurs that we have funded have actually stayed in St. Louis, regardless of the fate of the business.
Yeah, I was going to get to that in terms of, you know, you haven't been around that long, but what kind of a track record do you have?
So we are very much a startup ourselves, going into sort of a scale-up phase, and we have just 4 staff who are wonderfully dedicated, as Abby was describing their own team. Ours is too. We've had 65 companies funded, 60 are still with us, and of the 60 that are still in business, 53 are still in St. Louis. So we're very proud of those metrics and hope that the retention numbers continue to go up. When you look at the 5 companies that are no longer operating, 1 was acquired, and although 4 closed, of the 4 that closed, 3 had members of their leadership teams that went on to start new businesses in St. Louis and do it in St. Louis. And that's a terrific success story, too.
Andrew, St. Louis, as we've indicated, has a pretty good reputation with regard to the entrepreneurial environment. Why do you think that is? Why do you think St. Louis kind of stands out?
That's a great question. I think it's honestly really been a fairly recent phenomenon. It's been building for a while, but I remember that when Abby and I entered WashU, Looking at the entrepreneurial ecosystem at that point, this is now 6 years ago, time flies, but there wasn't nearly as much excitement, just pure number of companies. It wasn't being talked about as something that was feasible. And I think that as we were, you know, going through WashU and as we were at the time of graduating and actually starting Sparrow and actually kind of entering this community and being part of it, it was just really awesome, I guess, to see that transformation. I think that from the from the university perspective, SLU and WashU and Lindenwood and Webster and all the universities in St. Louis are doing a great job of making it a prominent piece of their own program to really kind of foster entrepreneurship and try to bring that in the limelight and make that a valid, career path for a lot of students. So I think that that's been something that's been really great. But I think that also you have, organizations like Arch Grants. You have other support organizations, for example, I-10. That are really focused on saying, okay, what are the things that we really need most to help entrepreneurs thrive, and then trying to provide those as efficiently as possible. So I think there's this really amazing community of support, and I think in other communities that are maybe a little bit more mature, you have a little bit of an oversaturation where everyone is kind of vying for maybe the same funding, or everyone, if something good happens to you, that means that something good didn't happen to someone else. And I think St. Louis is a small enough community still that it's able to really support each other and have a little bit more of a collaborative atmosphere. And I think that that's really important, not just between, companies themselves, but we've also seen some of the biggest companies in St. Louis really being active and trying to get involved. If you take a look on the fifth floor of T-Rex, it's almost like a NASCAR with so many, sponsorships and logos of all these companies that are a lot bigger, a lot older, much more farther along, and they're all contributing and trying to give back in some way, whether that's helping sponsor a certain conference room or donating pro bono hours or things like that. So I think you really have a community that's building and really rallying around this idea of entrepreneurship, and specifically in St. Louis. And I think as Jim Zier said, we have a history of entrepreneurship in St. Louis that goes way back. The fur traders back in the 1800s. You have Lewis and Clark. You have all these people. You have these great companies. And obviously, over the years, we took a little decline in St. Louis. But I think we're really coming back. And I think the more people that we have that are aligning these interests together from, the big corporate side to the universities to the support organizations to the entrepreneurs ourselves, if you really have everyone trying to kind of move towards that same vision, I think that's how we've been able to be so effective at doing that.
You're a native St. Louisan, right? Let me turn to Abby, because you're the relative newcomer to all of this. What do you see, or what have you seen in this regard?
So I would just echo what Andrew said, I think, very eloquently in terms of having all the ingredients in St. Louis. And I think that over my time here, the 6 years from when I started WashU to now, just seeing all of these ingredients and the support organizations, the current companies, the entrepreneurs, the students coming into WashU being excited about entrepreneurship as freshmen and coming to WashU and other universities for that reason, for St. Louis being this entrepreneurial community, I think has been a big part to drive it forward. It's just all these ingredients and pieces really coming together.
All of this is very St. Louis, isn't it, Ginger, in terms of community and people in the community wanting and willing to help?
I think it is, and I think that's a differentiator for us in terms of other markets that are also showing, displaying their entrepreneurial communities to try and attract and retain talent. But the difference here is that we're nice to each other, and the sort of Midwestern values coupled with our capital efficiency, so one can bootstrap a business here and still, not starve to death. Those are really helpful. I think where St. Louis, maybe your audience today can help with this too. I think where St. Louis is a little challenged is that we're also a very conservative market. And so one of the challenges when you have these new businesses forming is their need for capital and the appetite for the market to tolerate risk. And so how do we help the St. Louisans that are not yet connected into this entrepreneurial community who may want to, how do they connect? And the opportunity to make angel investments or to invest through a fund exist, and all of the angel groups and the investment funds are looking for those types of investors, and the only limitation is obviously one's financial capacity. Those who don't have the financial capacity to invest can certainly get involved as a donor to Arch Grants or other nonprofits in the space, or mentor, where they have real expertise to share.
Is Arch Grants and with other names and perhaps other forms, similar organizations in other parts of the country that you're aware of?
So in the state of Missouri, there are some similar organizations. And, you know, when we talk about Arch Grants and a company like Sparrow, it's important to also celebrate what Plant and Life Sciences has been doing in the space and in entrepreneurship really since the early 90s. And a tremendous credit to Dr. Danforth and John McDonnell and the group that they pulled together to form the Plant and Life Science Coalition, which ultimately became BioSTL. So, you know, the tech component of this narrative is what is fairly recent and is still unfolding. And as we look at how the Arch Grants model is being replicated, it's now being replicated around the state of Missouri. In Kansas City most recently, Cape Girardeau would like to do the same. And a lot of that is stemmed through the support of the Missouri Technology Corporation out of the state of Missouri and the Economic Development Agency there in Jefferson City.
You mentioned a moment ago that there's a need out there for angels, if you will, venture capital. I was always under the impression that we were fairly solid on that front here in St. Louis.
We have a high number of high net worth individuals. It does not mean that a high percentage of those high net worth individuals are actively involved in the space as investors, either as angels or through a fund. And so there's always an opportunity for those who can stand that level of risk to get involved. And we need them because in order for what's happening today to grow and to create a new narrative in the next 5-10 years, it's largely dependent upon St. Louis's willingness to invest locally and do business locally and engage our startup community to do beta tests and those kinds of essential elements of the business as these companies evolve and mature.
Are you still in the need, Andrew, and I hope this isn't too personal in terms of a question for your company, still in the need of financial assistance from folks out there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think for startups, you know, it's the question will change, you know, as you go on. For now, we raised a seed round of funding last September. So that was from a group of angel investors, a few from Michigan, a couple from St. Louis, and then a couple from New York. So a nice kind of coalition there. So that's been able to get us where we are now and continuing onward. We will be looking to raise more funding once we move a little bit farther, more towards kind of the fall time frame, spring time frame. We're still figuring out all the specifics of that right now, so we're not really fundraising yet, but it's certainly on the horizon.
Abby, I think that would be dependent pretty much on FDA approval of the device.
Yeah, I mean, I think as an entrepreneur, you kind of have to go with the flow a little bit in terms of if you need a larger team to scale up faster, then, you know, you might need to get the money sooner. So in relation to that, a big part of it is based on timelines and just planning and developing relationships. And so for us, you know, we're continuing to develop relationships with funders, with potential piloting and beta testers. And so we'll continue that. And when the time comes, we'll, of course, you know, look to raise money.
Is all of this a lot more complicated than you thought it might have thought it was when you were at WashU?
I don't know if complicated is the right word. It's a hard job. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because, you know, you get to work with a team and have a really big impact on something that's greater than just you. And for us, it's going to be, you know, helping people breathe better, which, you know, having the ability to do that is kind of, you know, it's the American dream in a lot of ways.
Andrew, is that what you hear from entrepreneurs a lot, that it's fun?
It is fun. And I think they're inherently curious, and they want to solve problems that are real and persistent. And, you know, the device that Abby and Andrew have created could not be in a better market given the asthma rates that we have here in St. Louis. So their capacity and the capacity of our other entrepreneurs to solve real problems for consumers or businesses, it's tremendous. And it's a privilege to work with these brains. They're wonderful people.
What about diversity in the entrepreneurial world? Are we okay with that?
No. So, you know, nationally and internationally, the inclusivity of minorities and women and immigrants in the kinds of competitions that Arch Grants hosts is woefully low. But, you know, this most recent group that we announced of the 10, announced in June, 8 of the 10 are either companies that are minority or women-led or co-led. And that's unheard of to have 80%.
I think that was the headline when they were announced that the diversity was the key to this announcement.
And I'm so glad that that was the headline because they deserve it. I mean, this has been a rigorous process, and we're very intentional about our inclusion outreach efforts, and we're thrilled when it all pans out. And we continue to maintain that kind of commitment to inclusivity in the competition.
Andrew, I'll turn to you, and then Abby, with regard to, are you aware and cognizant of need for diversity within your own team as you're building it? Is this something that's part of your plan?
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, I think Ginger hit the nail on the head. And, you know, if you only have a certain type of people in a room locked together, there's a very finite number of ideas that can come out of that room. And I think that's what entrepreneurship is all about. It's about innovating and disruption and taking all these ideas from as many avenues, as many diverse places you can get them and really make a team that's robust and isn't just, you know, a single straight line.
Abby, thought?
I would agree with that. I think it's about being able to take different ideas from different people, different walks of life, and being able to take all of those and use that to kind of transform your vision and make it better than it was before you got that input.
Very quickly to you, Ginger, St. Louis has taken an image hit in the last months. Has that impacted the entrepreneurial world at all?
I think it can't help but impact it. But I think the impact might not be what your listeners would expect, in that I think the issues before us as a region are very attractive to entrepreneurs who are inherently disruptive and they're problem solvers and are looking for opportunities to engage in the community. And we hope to be a conduit to help them do that.
That's a good place to end it. Thank you so much. Ginger Imster, thank you for being with us from Arch Grants. Also, Abby Cohen and Andrew Brimer of Sparrow Labs. Continued success to you guys. Thank you for being with us. Coming up, we say goodbye to one of our own, Emmanuel Berry. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.